the go-go entrepreneurs, road warriors, and multinational firms whom airlines counted on to buy the expensive, wide seats up front. Demand for the price be damned, last-minute airline seats was about to crater, but not before the infamous summer from hell in 2000. For air travelers, it was a grueling season of record delays and cancellations and bad weather and packed terminals, compounded by labor strife at United Airlines that virtually defined the term gridlock. Unhappy pilots denied they were engaged in a collective slowdown, but plenty of flights ready to taxi out to take off suffered mysterious last-minute maintenance delays, with more than one in every four U.S. commercial flights canceled or delayed. One harried senior federal official put it succinctly: the tolerable pain threshold was crossed this summer. The airline industry is famous for its ups and down financial cycles, and the upcycle of expansion, new routes, new airplanes, new investment, was hitting its apex during the late 1990s. From 1995 to 2000, U.S. airline net profits averaged $3.5 billion a year. More people had been flying and fares had risen. Airlines in turn ordered new planes, hired new workers, and expanded their schedules. Airports started building new terminals and pushed for new runways. Congestion generated frustrating delays so routinely that the Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, warned that the entire U.S. system, from crowded runways to overstressed air traffic control, could not handle the hundreds of millions of expected flyers. By early 2001, though, the cycle had reversed. As the dot-com bubble burst, the bottom started to fall out of air travel demand. Average fares dropped, but even worse for airlines, there was a massive drop in premium air travel, the front of the plane business travelers who accounted for a disproportionate share of profits. Revenue from business-type airfares dropped almost 30%, even as fuel and labor costs kept rising. The coup de grace, of course, was September 11, 2001. Overnight, the world of commercial aviation changed profoundly and permanently. Air crews were scared of passengers, and passengers were just plain scared. Airports became armed camps. It was a world of duct tape and anthrax and shoe bombs and snipers. Fearful business travelers blamed the hassle factor and uncertainty about long security lines, but nobody flew unless it was really necessary. In the immediate aftermath, business travel demand dropped an estimated 30%. Already facing economic slowdown, belt-tightening corporations seized the opportunity to cut their own travel spending. As the demand for their seats plummeted, airlines rushed to cut payrolls and curtail schedules. Within 3 months of the attacks, U.S. airlines had laid off some 80,000 workers and grounded 20% of the seats they had been flying. Not until 3 years later would U.S. travel regain the record levels of August 2001. And for the 4 years after September 11th, there was only red ink. By 2009, net losses added up to a mind-boggling $55 billion. By the middle of the dismal decade, the situation was dire. Passenger travel stayed down, and so did airline revenue. Business flyers refused to pony up 4 or 5 times, sometimes as much as 10 times, the cost of a coach ticket to ride in first class on a 3-hour flight they didn't even want to take. Selling cheap seats to families, tourists, and backpackers couldn't pay the rent. Even more ominous, the airlines that had ruled the nation's skies for decades faced a growing threat from such well-financed, low-fare competitors as Southwest, JetBlue, and AirTran, now more stable than their bigger rivals. These low-cost airlines had stayed on the fringes, trying to keep out of the way of the big guys. Not anymore. By mid-decade, they accounted for a quarter of the whole U.S. domestic air travel market. With more efficient operations, newer planes, and more productive labor forces than their old-line rivals, plus a no-frills product that let them offer lower fares and still profit, the low-cost upstarts kept gaining market share. The traditional U.S. airlines were in trouble. As their access to credit dried up, assets were hawked, capitalization plummeted, and bankruptcy became all but inevitable. Between 2001 and 2005, all but two of the big airlines